Can I just tell you, I'm actually afraid of ostriches after that day. Like, we literally went to the zoo, and we're talking, and they're like, it was like a giant, anybody know, like, an ostrich is like a dinosaur raptor. The way it walks and everything, just coming at you, and I'm like, dude, this is freaky. We shot these videos a few days ago of, I went to the zoo, and it just said, don't feed the animals, and these signs were everywhere, and they said, special diet for signs, and then we went back to my house, and we said, I have a good idea. There are so many squirrels and chipmunks in my yard. Let's put the video camera on the ground and see if we can get squirrels coming out to get the nuts. We have a black walnut tree, and there's nuts all over. And we put piles, and this one squirrel just kind of started coming out like crazy, just coming out and coming out, grab a nut, go back. And we're like, this is amazing. So we have this on video. We're going to show it in the next few weeks. And then Levi, the video guy, of course, I don't know whose idea it was, we said, why don't we tie one of the black walnuts to a fishing line to the tree? That'd be funny, right? Anybody think this is funny? If you don't like us cruelty to animals, I'm sorry, but this is really funny. So we tied it to a branch, we had this on video. We watched it come get every single one. Just come and grab it, run back, come and grab it, run back, come and grab it, run back. And all of a sudden, it grabbed this one with a fishing line, and you can see, as it takes off, you can see it in the distance, hold it, and it does a backflip and just launches backwards. And we have it on a video, just a little bit of it. I'm just telling you, that was funny. That was a funny day. So we had hours of enjoyment shooting some video for it, but going to the zoo is funny because everything says there's a special diet. If you have an animal, a dog or cat, you also know there's certain things your animals cannot eat. You can't put a hamburger in your fish tank. There's just certain things you can't do. For instance, we had a dog named Buster growing up, and Buster got some kind of sickness in his stomach, and we went to the vet. And the vet's like, you know what, he's not healthy, there's not much we can do. He's not in pain, he just doesn't handle, but he needs more electrolytes. And I said, what? Yes, my parents just laugh at this. I said, electrolytes? He's not like he's Michael Jordan or anything. Like, what do you mean? He just needs more electrolytes. I said, so what should we feed him? They said, Gatorade. What? So, like, our dog was drinking better than we were. I remember just pouring, like, red Gatorade in his dish. And the worst part is, you know, when dogs drink, it splatters. There's like pink all over. And I'm like, this is a nuisance. For the last year of his life, we're feeding him, drinking, he's drinking Gatorade. And so sometimes there's a special diet that happens. You can't eat this, you know what I'm saying, in our things. For instance, if you were going to run a marathon, you're not going to put down a hamburger or a Big Mac before you run a marathon. There's certain things you just don't do. And people say all the time, you are what you eat. Kinda. I mean, if you eat unhealthy things, you know what I'm saying, you will become unhealthy. If you eat good things, you become, you know what I'm saying, healthier. And so it's not like you're going to turn into a hamburger. That's the way it is. So the question is, what are you putting in your body? Not just physically, but what are you putting yourself in? Sometimes you feed these things. And I put this in my notes. It says, what comes in usually goes out. Is this true? I'll leave it there. We won't say any more than that. But you, in Scripture, even talks about this. What comes in the mouth will come out of the, you know what I'm saying? What's in the heart will come out. And so what comes in eventually comes out. And so our body, but what's amazing is Paul Keyes and I have been talking about this verse all year, and I love it. It says Psalms 34 and 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Isn't it cool? It says, taste and see. It doesn't say, just smell it. It doesn't say, just get the aroma of it. Because listen, it's one thing to hang around with the Lord a little bit. It's another thing to take communion and be part of it. Isn't that true? Taste and see. It's not something, God doesn't say it's something that you just sample. It's something that you digest. And isn't it interesting in Scripture? It talks about manna. It talks about the Bible being the bread of life because you taste it and you take it in. And analogies of all that, just saying, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm telling you, there's a different place you will go for those who just hang out over here without diving into the water, the deep end. You won't experience the fullness of the Lord until you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't this true? And so, and part of this is this whole thing about just taste and see. So what's coming in determines what goes out. So we got to be careful. Remember that psalm we were growing up, and I don't know if Stacy still sings it, I don't know. But it's, I don't even know if my kids know it, but be careful, little eyes, what you see. You remember that song? Be careful, little, for the Father up above. You know, so be careful, because what he's saying is, what you see will come into your heart. What you live, I remember at not North Central, but a Bible college in Missouri I went to called Evangel. I was there, and I walked into this guy's house one time, and he's just watching some trashy movie. You want to know an interesting conversation? It was trashy. Here's a guy who wanted to be in a ministry, and he's just watching some really trashy movie. And I walked in there. He goes, you want to watch a movie with me? I said, what are you watching? He told me, I said, I'm out, dude. I'm not going to be watching this. I'm out. He's like, what, do you think you're better than I am? And I said, no. I'm not gonna, I just want that junk in my life. Like, I already have the stuff I got to deal with. I don't want to deal with more. You know, I just don't want that junk in my life. I just want to be out of it. And he goes, what, you're not mature enough? And as I'm walking out, he says, you're not mature enough? And I'm telling you, I had a lot of grace until he said that. And I said, I looked back, and this is all I said. I remember I turned back and I said, if you think that because you can handle that is actually a standard of your maturity, you just show me how immature you really are. It's interesting in life because we think, oh, I'm older now and I can handle it. It has nothing to do with can you handle or not. Does God want that in your life? Is that making sense? And I think so many times we're saying, well, I can handle, I just can't, all this stuff. I'm just, for me, God is saying, listen, what comes in? What's in your heart? What's going on? And so just to be careful, it says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Your bodies, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of what? This world. But let God transform you into a new person by the changing of the way that you think. Because I believe this series is about changing the way that we think. 100%. It's about changing our reaction. Because God is saying, I no longer want you to live deformed. I want you to live transformed. I want you to transform your mind by the renewing of your mind. And it says this, it says in Matthew 5:30, it says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. If it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your body to go into hell. And people say, that's crazy. Well, I know it sounds crazy, but what God is saying this is like, can I just be really honest with this morning? I remember as a youth pastor, I had a mom come up to me. It was an altar service, at the end of altar service, and this mom comes up to me, and she says, hey, my high school son, we just caught my high school son looking up pornography. What do you do? I said, where's your computer at? They said, downstairs in the basement. I said, all right. Why is it in the location? Why aren't you around? All this stuff. She's like, well, because it's just down there, and my husband uses it for work too, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, red flag. I said, I think you should put it into a neutral spot and you should always be around when it's used. Or you should just get rid of it. Or have some serious protection on it. She's like, well, I don't know. I use it for emails. And I just said, is it better for you to have a computer or lose your family? And I'm not saying this at all. Listen, I have a computer. I'm just saying there's protection on it. I'm just saying I had to look at her straight in the eye because she was trying to justify what her son is going through. I'm saying, listen, I'm not saying you could cut your son's arm off. I'm just saying, we'll just take some, listen, and I'm not saying that's for you as parents to figure. I'm just saying in our own lives, certain things we just need to cut ties with. It says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So here's the deal. What are we feeding ourselves? And what are we starving? The question is this, don't feed the animals. The reason why I'm talking about the series is, whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. So I'm gonna give you guys an illustration. There's an illustration about two wolves. Some of you have already heard this before. But one evening, an old man told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, there's two wolves. He said, my son, a battle between two wolves inside of us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? The old man looked down at the boy, and he says, the one you feed. That's interesting. Either you're feeding the positive or you're feeding the negative. And I put it to a different way is this. Whatever you feed grows, and whatever you starve dies. And another instance, in the next slide, it says this. Whatever you are giving the most attention to is what you are growing. Good or bad, focus on what you want to develop. Last year, during the same season, I did a series called The Nine. Some of you guys were here when I did The Nine. It was called The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. And I started with a thing called Love Grow. Can you put that graph up there, Doug? I just want you guys to see this. And I did this whole series called The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. And here's The Nine Fruits of the Spirit right here, just so you guys know. It says, by their fruits you recognize them. Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it said, when I preached that message, I said, if the tree is unhealthy, the fruit will be unhealthy. So first, you need to have healthy roots to grow healthy fruit. And the fruits of the Spirit are actually, here's what's interesting. I was telling this to Tracy, our friend back there today. And I said, I'm going to show you guys something. This is what's really interesting to me. When I was doing this series a year ago, as I was preparing for this, I really didn't see this. But every time I looked up scripture verses on love, something hit me. On all of these. One is, it says in scripture that God is love. Isn't this interesting? And then I looked up scripture verses on joy, and the first thing that said about joy is, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then I looked at peace, and it says, the Lord of peace, that he is the peace of the earth, and he is that peace. And so what's interesting about it, I went into the series thinking that these are the characteristics that we need to have. And what I learned and realized in the midst of that series, that these are the characteristics who God is. Isn't it interesting? And until we need to have them, but what the fruits of the Spirit is telling us that these are who God is, and these are who we need to become like. And then I was looking up more, and I realized this. The foundation of everything, it says in Corinthians, it says, the bottom is this. If you don't have love, you don't have anything. It starts with love. And so then I told our congregation last year, I said, if the foundation is love, and then it goes to joy and peace, if you're having a bad day, a bad week, and you're wondering why I don't have any patience, maybe we should go back to say, if we don't have patience, then do we have peace, do we have joy, and do we have love? Isn't that interesting? I think maybe we should work backwards, because maybe that morning we just don't have love in our heart, maybe we don't have joy, maybe we don't have peace. It's hard to have patience when you don't have peace. Is this true? It's hard to have love if you don't have, it's hard to have joy if there's no love. It's hard to have these things. And so at the very tail of it, self-control. When you have all these things working together, self-control works. It's easier to tame the tongue when you have these things at work. And then here's the other thought that hit me last year. You can't give what you don't have. You might be dealing with somebody at your job or your neighbor, and they're like, there might be in an unpeaceful situation. And you might be thinking, I want to help them, but I can't help. You know what? If they need peace and you don't have it, you can't give it. Is this true? If you've ever been with somebody who needs joy, and you're like, oh, you need joy in your life, and you're crabby, you're not going to give them joy. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have these scenes, this is why it's important for us to have these scenes, because we'll be ready in each season. And I'm not saying you become perfect in these scenes, but fruit is seasonal. Fruit grows. And when healthy roots are down, and when you're growing deep and the healthy and the sun is shining and you're growing, things will grow. And so in our life today, the reason I say all this stuff is because I feel like this is where we're at. John 15:1-5 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. He's literally saying, if I'm not part of this fruit process, nothing will happen. So this series is about changing the way we think and changing our reaction. And as I'm preparing for the series, the reason I bring up the fruits of the Spirit, you know what I realized? Here's my realization I realized. The things that we're talking through the next 8 weeks are the opposites of the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? It's the opposites. This is how you combat it. How do you deal with stress and worry? Fruits of the Spirit. We're going to talk this through. How do you worry? How do you deal with it? Next week is fear. How do you deal with fear? We're going to deal with it next week. Because here's the deal. If you want to work through these things, you got to work through the foundation of it all. The opposite fruits. And this is what we're going to do. This is the steps. Fear. The next week is bitterness, worry, impatient, jealousy, lies, doubt, criticalness, and lack of control. And this is what we're going to deal with in life groups. And this is where I'm jumping into a life group myself. This is what we're going to deal with in these things because we need to change the way we think. Anybody in here, let's just be honest, anybody in here kind of think of worst case scenarios a lot? Like you're thinking, anybody like, you get on an airplane, you're like, what if this thing, oh, I don't want that scene. That's like bad. Or you might be like, you still have that. If I went to a school, like a few weeks ago here, and I just remember every time I go in, I go, Jarvis, please come to the principal's office. You know, that's never good. That's like, how is it ever good? Like, that's never good. Or when I text somebody, I say, hey, we really need to chat. Can we chat tomorrow? Everybody's like, oh, Jarvis wants to chat with me, you know. You know, you instantly think of something bad. Maybe your boss calls you in the office, and how many think, oh, he's going to give me a raise. Maybe he wants to fire me. You know, you instantly think of worst case scenario. Anybody ever read that book, Worst Case Scenario? Doug, if you can put that picture up. I found one. This is my favorite. How to Escape a Mountain Lion. Dude, worst case scenario. If you encounter, I'm just going to tell you right now, this is a freebie, guys. If you ever encounter a mountain lion, here it is. Number one, try to make yourself appear bigger by opening up your coat. The lion is less likely to attack a larger animal. Okay, number one, what if you don't have a coat? You just rip off your shirt? Like, that's, and who's going to do that? I mean, literally. Number two is this. If the lion still behaves aggressively, throw stones. Convince the lion that you are not prey. Okay. Who would try that? Dude, I'm telling you right now, that's not even a thought. I'm not going to go. Here's the other thing. You're in a grassy meadow. You're not going to go look for rocks. Hey, hold on, mountain lion. I got to go find some rocks to throw at you. Like, this is just. And then the last one, if you are attacked, fight back. What? Anybody else find this, like, crazy? Think about that. Mountain lions are small enough that an average human can ward off an attack. Do not curl up or play dead. I was reading these one time, and it says if a bear ever attacks you and he's on top of you, this is true. This is what they said. Go on the belly of the bear and hold on to the bottom of the bear because the bear can't reach its own stomach. Are you kidding? Think about this for a second. I understand he can't reach his stomach. I can't reach my toes, okay? But think about this. When it's nap time, you're dead. Anytime you're dead. Like that's just the thing. And so, and I know the right things to do, but it says when you're chased by a bear, run downhill. Dude, I'm going to run downhill no matter what. I'm faster than all you all downhill. I just roll, dude. I just roll downhill. But here's the deal. Like, we live in this scene of worst-case scenarios. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if, you know what I'm saying? What? And we assume the worst. So here's my question. Why do we always jump to the worst conclusion? Why? And I know part of the answer is because we're preparing ourselves for the bad. That way, when the good actually happens, we feel good. But think about that. And they say when a habit happens, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they say a habit takes 23 days to happen. Now think about this in your life. If every single day you are telling yourself worst case scenarios, it has already formed a habit that whatever happens in your life, if somebody asks you to do something, I'm not going to do it because something bad may happen. Isn't this crazy? You might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with us spiritually? I think it has everything to do with us spiritually, especially as we go into next week with fear. Because I think what happens is we don't obey the Lord, or we don't step out, or we don't share our faith, or we don't pray with people because we are afraid of the worst possible outcome there is. Not because, listen, I believe this. I believe everybody in this room wants people to know the Lord, and you want your neighbors to find the Lord, and you want your coworkers to find the Lord, and you want people to be in church. I think we live in a case where we want people to know Jesus. Is this right? But what problem happens is we become gun shy because we start fearing the worst case scenario. So we don't do it. So we rationalize it saying, does God really want me to do that? Does God really want me to step out? Is this what God is asking me to do? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. If you're going to say, well, I feel like the Lord asked me to go pray with somebody at work today, but I didn't do it. Why? I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to do it or not. Well, I know Satan doesn't want you to pray for that person. So, you know, think about that. If it's something positive that's going to affect their life, maybe God's asking us to step out. And so we live in this worst case scenario. Why do we assume we are always in trouble? Why do we assume someone is mad at us? I have a pastor friend who lives in Colorado. He's an awesome, big church, everything. And we started talking about this one day with a bunch of pastors. And here's what he said. He's just this jovial, really funny guy. Here's what he says. He goes, I just assume everybody loves me. And I said, are you serious? He goes, I know it's not true. I know people in my church don't even like me. He goes, I know that. I mean, I can't please everybody. Jesus never did. But he says, but life is a lot easier if I just assume everybody loves me. Isn't that true? And I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying in our own lives, we just think of, well, this person hates me, what if. So we are not called to live in worst case scenarios. So we are waiting sometimes for the floor to drop. Romans 8:28, and this is what I want us to know, this is that God causes all things, if you're taking notes, underline, God causes all things to work out together for the good for those who love God. Some people stop in the beginning and says, well, God works all things out for the good for those. Who's those? For those who love the Lord. If you're doing it for the Lord, if you pray for people for the Lord, and you pray and you reach and you take a, if you take a chance, if you do these things for the Lord, God works all things out because you want the best for him. And I'm telling you this, when my kids come to me and said, Dad, I did this, I don't care if it's the worst job because my kids did it for me. Isn't that true? When my son comes home and says, I do this for you, it's not the best masterpiece ever, but to me it is because my son did it for me. I'm telling you, when we as Christians do things for the Lord and we step out and we take chances, we are loving and honoring him with our actions and with our life. We are stepping out. We are not feeding the worst case fears in our life. We are feeding faith. And next week, I'm going to talk about where faith and fear collide. That's the problem. Because most of us don't step out on faith because of that fear thing, because of living in worst-case scenarios. If we focus on loving him and focus on our character, then we just need to let God worry about the outcome. What if we did not live in negativity? What if what you thought, now listen, I'm not saying that every day you wake up and say, Sean, the sun's out, it's a great day, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, though, when trials come and fear steps in and questions arise, not assuming worst case scenario. I had this guy up in Brainerd. He used to work for the forestry companies, and what he used to do was, he used to go find forest land, and they would build roads and all this kind of stuff. But he would find this wood and then have his own company. He worked for a big, giant company. One day out of the blue, the company came to him and said, hey, we're cutting back. He's been working for the company for years, and you're the first one to go. He was, like, pretty high up in the company. He's like, what? And for, like, 2 weeks, he was like, this is bad. Almost Christmas time, whatever. And he was praying. The Lord spoke to him and said, it's because your new season is starting. He started his own company. And he's now doing better than that other company. Now listen, I'm not saying right now you quit your job and start your own company and do your own thing. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is this. Sometimes God's no is not a no. It's just a change of direction. And so many times we think of God saying, well, worst case, this is what's going to happen. We're going to live in this. Listen, we live in this culture right now that lives in worst case. And I mean, we talked at a Bible study just a few weeks ago, a bunch of guys and I, and we were talking about end times and where America is heading. And a lot of people read those books, Blood Moon and all that kind of stuff. Listen, I 100% think, listen to my stand here. We always need to be ready and plan for whatever is going to happen. Here's the deal. Whether it's the end of the world or whether, listen, something may happen in Stillwater. There's something, a flood may happen. I don't know. We just need to be ready no matter what for whatever may happen. Does that sound good? It's always good to be planned out. But here's how I live. Whether the Lord comes next week or 10 years from now or whatever, for us as Christians, the best is yet to come. Does that make sense? If you don't know the Lord, the flip side is true. But if you do know the Lord, the best is yet to come. And people tell me all along time, people say all the time, Jarvis, you don't understand, we're just living in the worst of times. We're just living in the worst of times. Well, number one, medieval times was the worst of times. And number two, for America to get everything they want, and literally, if you are living in America, that means you're the top 16% richest person in the world. And our worst of times is still other countries' best at times. Think about that for perspective. And so when you're having people, you see that picture of that baby, like that little kid on the beach this week, from, you know what I'm saying? Those refugees trying to jump over. There's murders and there's stuff going on all over, and we just need God's protection. I'm not saying unleash anything you want, Lord. I'm just saying I want a church that says, Lord, whatever you do, we're here for you. Is that making sense? So here's how I'm just going to end this morning. I just want us to change the way we think. And instead of hearing bad news, our instant reaction time is better. My wife and I, we did a marriage life group. And one of the things we talked about in that marriage life group was, in marriage, here's what happens. Sometimes you can have a good reaction, and sometimes you have a bad reaction. And most people will understand, if your reaction is bad, it's not going to help your marriage. My wife and I laugh about this all the time. For instance, I feel girls are really good at having requestions. Anybody know what a requestion is? It's a question that's actually a request. For instance, my wife will say, did you take out the garbage today? And she sees the garbage is not taken out. Well, it's not a question, it's a request. And if my reaction was, no, did you? Right? I'm telling you, your reaction needs to change. And here's what I'm telling you. As Christians, what I'm hoping for in this series is that we can change our reaction. Because in our habits, we may jump to conclusions and jump to worst case scenario right away and go, oh, I have a headache and I'm doing bad and this is going to be a bad day ever. Maybe you just think, all right, God, help me. This is going to be good. I'm just going to, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we just, if God can help transform our thinking just a little bit, then we can help people with their changing mindset. Because I'm telling you, you set the temperature in your house, you set the temperature at work, and you set the temperature around you. Is that making sense? You set that tempo. And so if we're the people as Christians who are the ones who are complaining and the ones who are saying, woe is us, you know what the world doesn't want to know? If you claim to stand on hope, that God is full of hope, that I hope in the Lord, and yet the whole time you're saying, the world's coming to an end, you better be saying, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. Because if all you're doing is giving warning without the hope, I'm telling you, we're missing the whole reason for the warning. Because here's the problem. A lot of us live in this, and this is what I do. Worst case scenarios turn into what ifs. What ifs? What if your friend leaves? I'm telling you, we deal with people who are married who think all the time, what if my spouse leaves and I never see him again? What if my spouse cheats on me? What if my kids who don't know the Lord never find the Lord? What if my work never pans out? Think about this. What if? What if I don't make friends? What if I never get married? What if I can never get out of debt? What if I invite my friend to church? What if I pray for him and they deny it and they make fun of me? What if I go and something bad happens? What if I let my kid go and something bad happens? What if? Can you imagine, just calculate this for a second. How many times do you think in one day do we think of the words what if without even thinking it through? Like, what if? I can get Dan and Brian up here, it'd be awesome. What if? What if I never find my purpose? Some of you are filled with doubt. What if this is all fake? What if God's not real? Think about this for a second. What if? I don't really think what if is necessarily bad. But I think the question is how you tone it. So what if we just change it up a little bit? And then we put it this way. What if we start saying, what if your friend who needs a healing comes to church and they get healed? What if God shows up in church the way you've been praying for? What if God shows up? What if you invite that neighbor that you don't like and you decide to start praying for them? What if you go and see them sometime and you listen to them? What if as you're listening to them, you begin to pray with them? And what if as you pray with them, they ask you questions about your own spiritual life? What if? What if the person at school you like the least? What if this week you invite them to church? What if next Sunday they come and they find the Lord and the very next Sunday they come back and they're sitting next to you, raising your hands and worshiping the same Lord that you worship? What if? What if your sons and daughters who don't know the Lord find the Lord? What if? What if God has better things for you than your job and different things? What if? What if? So the question is, why do we always think about the negative? Like, why do we always think about, what if this never happens? What if it does? Imagine the possibilities. What if? You know what I think about? What if God shows up in such a drastic way, people find the Lord in our church, but not just our church? What if Stillwater, Minnesota becomes the hub of the greatest revival that ever hit Minnesota and the entire world? What if? What if a church begins to pray and seek the Lord's face and say, deny themselves and lay down their fears and lay down all the things that they want, sacrifice themselves and say, God, whatever you want. What if a church rises up and says, I'm no longer going to live the same. I'm no longer going to live in rubble. I'm no longer going to live deformed, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind and I'm going to be different. What if you live and your past was never a question? What if your past was gone and God took your past and redeemed it because he said he already did, and you use your past to create another future for somebody else? What if you never lived in guilt and shame anymore? What if you rose above the past? What if you rose above the lies that you've been hearing your entire life? What if, think about this, if you had no fear, how would you live different? What if? Everybody stand up. Who is with, just be honest. Raise the hands. Who is in here right now? You have too many what ifs that are negative in your life right now that you need to get rid of. Let's just be honest. Come on, too many. That you're feeding too many animals you should not be feeding right now. Look at this. Look at this. We're just feeding this stuff. And I think what happens, we know it. Because it becomes so natural to us. And Satan's like, it's like being part of a sports team. And the coach says, you guys ready? I don't know, coach. Kind of tired today. I don't know. What if we don't win? Can you imagine having practice and everybody saying, what if we run out of water? What if our footballs are deflated? Right? Deflate, get all over again. What if it rains? What if? I'm telling you, watching some football yesterday, Wisconsin loses, BYU wins, Hail Mary toss, 1 second left. People shrieking the field, and I'm going, what? I'm like, What if we win? What if? In the book of Revelations, it talks about the end of days. And I think people read it and get nervous about it. But you know how it ends? That we're all worshiping the Lord. It ends because the best is yet to come. Through trials and tribulations. One thing I said this past year, your mess becomes a message. And your, you know what I'm saying? Your mess becomes a message. It becomes, you know what I'm saying? God transforms it. What if? Here's my next question. All eyes up here. I want you to understand this. What if you truly, truly surrender to the Lord? What if you truly laid your life down? What if you truly give your heart to the Lord, not just a token? What if you truly give your heart to the Lord and said, God, whatever you want to do? What if? Think about that. Really bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you really want to surrender your heart, maybe it's your first time, maybe you've done it before, but you're saying, today I want to lay it down. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, I want you to look at me and raise your hand. No one else is looking around. Just raise your hand, it'd be awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. 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 Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart. Holy Spirit, have your way. Wash me clean. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it for the first time, I would love to talk with you after church. That'd be awesome. Listen, for all of us, there's about 90% of the people raise your hand and says, my mind is messed up with worst case scenarios. Can I just tell you how you fix that right now? Spend time with the Lord. What happens is this. You want to know the easy thing that happens? Is that we make the problems bigger than the promises. Does that make sense? We live in worst case scenarios because we make our problems bigger than the potential. We make our problems this giant monster, and God says, listen, I'm greater in you than you in the world. This darkness in the world, I'm greater in you. He says, so why are you making this monster? And the more you give it worst case scenario, the more you give this animal in your life, the more you feed it, the bigger it gets. And it might be a little mouse, and it's like a giant mouse now because it's not because it's grown, because you keep on feeding it lies. Isn't that true? So you know how you beat it? Trust in the Lord. You just begin to worship, saying, God, I don't want to live deformed. I want to live transformed. So we're going to go back into worship this morning. We're going to spend time in his presence. I would love to pray with you. You want to come down to front? I want to pray with you. I'll come pray with you anywhere. But let's just begin to spend some time in worship this morning. Sounds good? And let's just start believing, God, what if you show up in my family? What if healing comes? What if my addiction is gone? What if this stuff begins to happen? Let's just pray this morning. Let's just believe this morning. Sounds good? And don't rush to get out of here. Let's just spend some time at the altar in your seats and worshiping this morning. Amen? Lord, I just pray, Lord, I pray for every addiction to be gone. I pray for healing in the bodies. I pray you transform minds this morning. I pray this church no longer lives in worst case, but we stand upon the promises of who you are. And Lord, the best is yet to come. And I just pray, Lord, what if you show up? What if you bring healing? Lord, what if, Lord, our neighbor finds you? Lord, give us the eyes. Lord, help us to pray for our five friends. Lord, help us to reach out in Jesus' name.